Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. We are back with another Mailbag Monday. Angel, we had quite a few letters coming in. Let's just jump in and answer some.
Okay, Joe. My mother-in-law, which is always a bad start to a sentence usually, my mother-in-law always has suggestions about our kids and what we should do when raising them. My husband is always telling me what mom said, and I'm trying not to get bitter. We've been married for 4 years now, and I don't know how to handle this. Can I say that I had a mother-in-law that didn't raise her children. They were sent off to boarding school.
Yes, they were.
But she was very quick to tell me how to raise mine.
Yes.
And how to discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just, I would have to fight just not going postal, because I'm like, what? You didn't even raise yours, you know? And so, but I didn't, because I was trying to be respectful. But to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that husband should have a discussion with his mother to back off.
Yeah, we need to have some hair on our lip, as we say down home.
Mm-hmm.
And big boy, you need to step up to the plate.
Otherwise, you're going to create strife. You're going to allow strife to be created between your wife and your mother, which you do not want.
Nope, because that one will never, hardly ever get repaired.
Not only will it not get repaired, your wife is going to win.
Yes, she is. And someday she'll be married to another man, not you.
Yes.
And then you can go home to your mama and live with your mama.
that's why the Bible.
And we're not being funny.
No,
it's serious. We've done so many marriages we've dealt with. Guys, I'm telling you something. Your wife is your number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife is your number one gift from God, your number one priority. Everybody else goes down the food chain next to your wife.
There's a reason that the Bible says for a man to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Obvious, because there's a challenge there for some men. So, listen. I have a son that just recently got married. I was a single mother, very close to my son, extremely close to my son. And don't think it didn't ruffle my feathers a little bit the first few times he said, I have to check with my wife. What are you doing for Christmas? I'll have to check with my wife. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? I'll have to check with my wife.
Yeah.
Can we have dinner Monday night? I'll have to see what Valerie's doing. Okay, don't think just as a woman naturally to get booted to the next position.
Down the food chain we go.
Didn't challenge my flesh, because it did. And I would be lying to say anything otherwise.
Tell the truth.
But I knew spiritually that was the right thing.
Come on, yes.
And I respect it.
He's being a real man.
He is. And I love that. And my daughter-in-law and I have a great relationship.
You do. Yes, you do.
But I had to reevaluate my son's eyes. When he took her as his wife, our relationship changed.
Yes, it did.
And it didn't just change on his side. It had to change with me as well.
Yes.
So I hope there's plenty of mother-in-laws that are listening to this, because that is an adjustment that nobody ever talks about but has to be made.
As parents of children that get married, we all have opinions.
Right.
But my number one statement is, don't give your opinion unless you're asked for it.
No.
And even then, you better be very careful how you answer, because your opinion is going to be like a gasoline lake that somebody struck a match to. What you shared, you think is improbable, they're going to tell their spouse's parents, their brothers, their sisters, their cousins, the next neighbor. What you just shared, you think now as a parent, because it's not a mommy-child relationship anymore.
No.
This is an adult-to-an-adult relationship, and there's different rules as to what you can and cannot say.
And God has not called you to be the Holy Spirit couple.
Thank you.
And so many times I see parents trying to do that. So many times I see them being invasive in a relationship.
Yeah, they've got to learn how to listen to God, not you.
Yes, and you've done your job.
Thank you.
Let go.
That's right.
And enjoy the relationship. Now, let me tell you, even my daughter, you know, this year, I said, as we were getting closer to the holidays, I said, I sent a text to all of them, and I said, what is everybody's plans for Thanksgiving? And my daughter, quickly, who purchased her first house, said, we will be having both Thanksgiving and Christmas at our home, and everyone is welcome to join us. And you know what? I didn't like that, but kudos to her.
Good. Very good.
Because she needs to, and as her husband, they need to start making their own traditions.
Thank you.
Listen, this is the gospel truth. I had to move to Washington State from Florida to break my mother-in-law's ties on my husband.
Got as far as we could.
Yes. And so I don't necessarily think that's the answer. I think the answer is for the man to take his place.
I'm going to have to stand up and say it.
Just like if the mother of the wife is dogging your husband, you should not let that happen. So that is never a good thing for marriage. I'm sorry, if you didn't like them before they got married, they're married now.
I'm telling you, and one thing the man better know, you better not go to your mom's, my wife's upset.
No, the wife shouldn't do that either.
No,
nobody
either
should
one,
do that.
No, you are too tied at the knot as one, and man, you are two for each other. Don't you ever cut each other down in front of your parents.
No, I mean, that you open that door, and that is a floodgate of strife and division.
Woo.
Didn't have an opinion on that, really.
No, we didn't. We really didn't have any opinion at all.
I was perched and ready to go.
Well, I'm telling
you,
that there are two veterans sitting here with almost, you know, 8 decades of experience. So,
yeah.
Woo.
All right, Joe. My kids are transitioning from a Christian school to a public school. I'm already seeing my kids gravitating towards some kids that I think are trouble. You briefly mentioned something about four kinds of kids. Can you talk about that briefly? We want to help guide our kids.
Yeah, the Proverbs talks about the four kinds: wise, simple, foolish, and scornful. We've got almost 100 scriptures for most of them. A wise child lives long, going to be wealthy, going to scale a city and take it captive. Good things happen to wise children. The other three, nothing good happens to. And that was the point of the book that we got coming out. Simple-minded children aren't evil. They're not full of the devil, but they're gullible. They believe everything they hear. They go with everything they hear. They think everything's the gospel. They have no filter because they have no wisdom. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. If you stay simple-minded too long, you become a fool. And the Bible says it's sport for a fool to make mischief. They make a game out of getting in trouble. How far can I push this envelope? And they'll push it. And if you stay a fool too long, you go to stage four, the final stage, you become a scorner. Scorners hate those that love them. They're rebellious. They're like gang leaders. They get everybody else in trouble. They don't get caught themselves. And so you want to stay a wise child. And so for that, you want to make sure if you're going to be wise, you got to walk with wise people. A companion of fools will be destroyed. So we had to sit down with our kids and teach them. Let me tell you who you're going to hang around and not hang around, because these people are not your friend. A friend, the Bible says, is somebody that will die for you, not somebody that gets you killed. If your friend keep getting in trouble, well, you're hanging with the wrong crowd. You got in trouble, you're hanging with the wrong crowd. You got in trouble again, you're with the wrong crowd. You need to make decisions about, no, if you're thirsty, I'll give you water. You know, if you're starving, I'll give you food. If you're in prison, I'll visit you. But I'm not spending spare time or eating lunch with you.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful who you hang around, because that's how the devil tries to take you out. He's going to do it with somebody that's good looking, good smelling, good talking, but not godly.
Yeah.
So you got to know how to pick your friends. Every kid has to learn early how to pick a friend. And you do that by being a friend. So you got to know how to be one, then you got to know how to pick one.
And it says here that your kids are transitioning from a Christian school to a public school. That's quite a difference. And so I would also, you really want to open the doors to have a lot of communication with your kids during this transitional time.
Yep.
And be sensitive to what they're going through, because it is as real to them as can be. So
yeah, they're having to survive in that world. And listen, there is just as much sin. I was a Christian school administrator for 10 years. There is as much sin in a Christian school as there is in a public school.
Oh, for sure.
But it gets covered up in nice clothes and, you know, a little more disciplinary things. But there's just as much sin there. So the public school is really not any different. It's just go to class. When you get out of class, go to your next class. If you go to lunch, sit with somebody you respect and you admire, not somebody who's just a doofus hanging out. Because the devil's going to, he's going to try to invite, hey, come over here with us. Hey, you want to go with us? Hey, you want to hang out with us? We've all been through that as young people. The devil's always going to try to shake the stick and make the bell ring. And here's what we have to understand. Lucifer, the devil, is the most beautiful creature God ever made. He's got the full of wisdom. He's perfect in beauty, in charge of music, charge of wealth. He still has those gifts. The devil doesn't have horns. He doesn't puke green stuff. He is still the single most beautiful thing. So when the devil's coming at your child, he's going to look good, smell good, and talk good. Mm-hmm. You can't go by the image. Well, they're a part of the something society. And they're a straight A student. No, I don't care what they are. Are they living a godly life? Well,
I agree with you that there's plenty of wrong at Christian schools, but I don't agree with you that the pressure is the same. I think it's quite a bit accelerated.
What it
at,
is,
at
and today,
school.
Today, that's true.
And because you're having kids that are raising themselves,
yes,
you have children that are have drug issues in their homes, abuse in their homes, and they're bringing things to the table that your kid has been pretty. Children have been sheltered.
Well,
from.
What makes different with Christian schools? It's like a private school. When a parent's writing a check for that education, they're more involved.
Very much.
If I'm not writing a check, I'm not involved. I don't care what you do. Just stay out of my hair and just stay at school all day long if you want to. Just stay out of my hair.
But that's all the more reason you need to teach your kids about how to choose friends.
Thank you.
I always tell my children, I always had this analogy, and I'd tell it to them all the time. Listen, there's yard dogs and there's house dogs in your life. And I said, do you know what a house dog is? A house dog is someone, when you come home, they jump up in your lap, you laugh with them and pet them, and you tell them your stories. If you're heartbroken, you hug them, and you tell them what's going on in your life. So you have a close relationship with them. A yard dog, you might pat them on your way out to get in the car.
Then you have to wash your hand.
Right.
So, they've been rolling something dead in the yard to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. So they're very different. Most people are yard dogs.
Yes.
Very few are house dogs.
Very few.
And so my kids would come home from school and they'd say, Mom, and I'd say, yard dog, house dog. And you decide. And I made it very clear to them, I choose my friends. They do not choose me. And I'm very picky.
Very good.
I'm very picky. And I have my friend from the first grade still. If you're my friend, unless you give me a reason not to be, we will be friends for life.
It's true.
It is something that most people will just let happen, and if that happens, then you are going to get hooked in with some poor choices.
There's going to be some teaching involved, both private and public, but especially public. I can tell you how to protect yourself, who to hang with, and who not to hang with.
But I will tell you that Joe just briefly mentioned it. He does have a book coming out at the first of the year called we haven't settled on a title yet, but it is about this exact issue.
This very thing.
Four different kinds of kids. All right, Joe, how do you instill the fear of God into your children? I've heard people talk about instilling the fear of God in their children, but I probably don't understand exactly what it is, let alone teach it to my kids.
You're not trying to scare them. I got to scare
well,
them.
Well, when I was growing up, you had one foot in hell and the other one banana peel. Let me tell you, I got saved every week.
Woo,
the fear of God was there. But I don't think that's what you mean. You
no.
mean the respect.
The respect. The fear of God is just knowing who God is. God knows, and we've taught this our whole life with our kids, God knows every thought you're going to think before you think it.
Mm-hmm.
The hairs of your head are numbered. Mm-hmm. The days of your life are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
God orders your steps.
Right.
He directs your paths. He surrounds you with divine favor. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. It's already written down. God is good, and he's trying to help you grow.
Right.
And so anything you do that's not God, it's going to make you look stupid.
Yeah.
You're going to look incredibly stupid. The more you try to show off, the more you try to act arrogant, the more you think you're cool, the dumber you're going to look. Listen, I've been to all of my high school reunions, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And we had kids in school, you know, voted most likely and most this. And you realize it didn't turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's why we have to wear pictures of each other on our chest at the, you know, high school reunion. Now, who are you? Oh, dear God, that's you. Whoa, that changed. And we laugh about it this day, but we realize what we thought was so important, it wasn't that important back then.
Yeah.
And then we had people that we didn't know, we didn't give the time of day to turn to be incredibly great husbands and wives and parents and businessmen in the community and leaders in the community. Who are they now? We didn't vote them anything. They weren't most likely.
Right.
But they became something great.
Mm-hmm.
Because greatness comes from serving other people, not showing off. But when you're in school, who's the great ones? The show-offs, the ones that brag the most, lie the most, you know, tell the biggest story. No, it's those that serve the most, Jesus said. And eventually that comes to the surface.
Well, I was raised in a church where they definitely taught you how to fear God. you had these old movies, you know, A Thief in the Night, and everything that would supposedly scare the hell out of you, and it works. Let me tell you, it works.
It would keep you, yep.
And matter of fact, this is so funny. My son-in-law was raised in the same type of church, and he said, this is a weird analogy. The youth pastor one time was talking about that, you know, if you're lukewarm, you'll be spewed out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And he said he had somebody come up there, and it looked like the guy was getting sick to his stomach, and he just spewed everywhere. And he goes, that's what it looks like God's going to do to you, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, man, he ran to the altar.
Woo!
So the thing is that that's not what it's talking about.
Nope.
God doesn't want you to fear him, but he wants you to respect and honor him. And, you know, it took me a while to change my thinking as far as, because that was very deeply ingrained into me. And so, but it changes because then it's, what happens is the fear method, it becomes works.
Yes.
If I do this, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, I'm going to make it to heaven.
If I crawl on my knees, if I fast for 10 days, you know, if I shave my head, I'll be holy. No, it's got nothing to do with that.
But the respect and honor changes it to a relationship.
Yes, it does.
And which is what God wants.
Without God, I don't take my next breath. Without God, I don't breathe. My next, I don't have my next heartbeat. It's all God. And to God be the glory. He gets all the credit. Whatever I'm doing, if I sin, he's the one I'm running to get forgiven.
Right.
And if I need help, he's the one I'm running to get help.
Yeah.
But if I have need of guidance, I'm going to him to get guidance. You know, he's my everything. That's the fear of God.
Yes.
It's just the respect that he is all. He is my all in all. Where would I go? Why would I go to anybody except God?
Right.
You know, it talks about, you know, you need to run boldly to the throne of God to get mercy and help in time of need. Well, when do you need mercy? When you've sinned on purpose. God says, if you've sinned on purpose, don't run away from me. Run to me. I can forgive you and I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people who grew up in church. You know, you notice, hey, where are they at? They're here this Sunday. Next Sunday, they're not there again. And you realize what's happened to them. Well, they've sinned.
Yeah.
They're trying to stay out of church long until they clean themselves up. And we tell people, you can't clean you up. If you sin, you need to be there when they open the doors. Be the first one down at the altar. Talk to your pastor. Repent. Get forgiven and get up and go be bold and do something else for God.
So true. And we just probably need to change that terminology. That's kind of a 80s, 70s terminology. I mean, it is in the Bible, but it is, I mean, the meaning of the way it's interpreted in our English language.
Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. How do you get wisdom and knowledge? You need to fear God. You need to realize it's not this, hey, can I scare you? It's not that kind of fear. It's that reverence that God is your all in all.
Yeah.
Everything comes
from
God.
You can switch that word, honestly, fear to reverence, respect, honor.
Yes.
So, great question.
Yes.
Hey, if you have a question, please send it to mail@joemcgeeministries.com. We would love to hear from you. Also, if you'd like to become a partner and help us to spread this podcast even further and also help us to travel and share good news for people that are struggling in their marriage, with parenting, with finances.
The Word of God is the answer.
JoeMcGee.com. Just punch the give button, and that would be awesome. We appreciate you guys.
So thankful.
Love you very much. We hope you have a great week. See you next Monday.
Have a good week, guys. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.